Whatever your feelings about people living in the country without citizenship or documents, they are human, so they have human needs like food and health care. We'll focus on mental health care in this segment because it appears a lot of people living in the country undocumented do not seek it out when they need it, which should be no particular surprise, but a recent report from the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network takes a closer focus on the situation and the possible effects. The report is called Accessing Mental Health in the Shadows. It is the work of the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, as I mentioned, and author Carolina Valle, who's the policy manager at CPEHN. Thanks for joining us today on The Exchange, Carolina.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Good to have you. Would you start us first? Just give us a little sketch of what the Health Network is about.
Sure. So the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, we are a statewide multicultural health policy organization, and we work to reduce disparities in communities of color across the state. We also are a network of community-based organizations across the state who inform us of what's happening on the ground, what the needs are, and what areas we need to advocate for.
The report begins with a recognition that mental health care has expanded across the country. Is that primarily because of the Affordable Care Act?
That's correct. Primarily because of the Affordable Care Act, we're seeing a lot more folks that are covered by health coverage programs that offer mental health benefits as well. In addition to that, we also saw the Mental Health Services Act in 2004, which expanded investments in mental health care.
What kinds of investments?
So that's a great question. So the Mental Health Services Act was a ballot initiative that implemented a 1% tax on millionaires here in California. That is still the law of the land today, and it expanded investments in our public mental health system significantly. And so what's really unique about the Mental Health Services Act is that it actually mandated that our communities provide the full spectrum of mental health care to all people, regardless of immigration status. And so historically, our mental health system primarily focused on people that were experiencing serious mental illness, but the Mental Health Services Act actually mandated that our communities also provide prevention and early intervention services.
All right. So from that act, it is clear that not only should there be a wide range of services, but they should be available to anybody, documented or not.
That is correct. That was actually one of the major findings from our research. Outside of Medi-Cal, what we found was that there are actually no restrictions on the Mental Health Services Act that would preclude counties from providing mental health care to undocumented immigrants.
Okay, but I think you just landed on what the key may be there. Outside of Medi-Cal, within Medi-Cal, what is the situation for people who are undocumented and seeking mental health care?
That's a great question. So for undocumented immigrants that do not have access to Medi-Cal, or let me back up. So Medi-Cal is an entitlement program across actually the United States. And here in California, it provides mental health care. So it's also an entitlement for mental health services. For adults, for low-income undocumented adults, they are excluded from Medi-Cal. So they are not allowed to access Medi-Cal or its mental health benefit. For children, we did some work a few years ago that expanded Medi-Cal and its mental health benefit for undocumented children. So it's a different situation for undocumented children because they actually do have access to Medi-Cal and its mental health benefit. But thankfully, with our new governor, we have a budget proposal this year that would seek to expand Medi-Cal and its mental health benefit for low-income undocumented young adults.
For the people getting confused by the terms, Medi-Cal is California's version of Medicaid, right?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And I was going to ask you about that age line. So are the children covered because of the CHIP, for example, the federal CHIP program, or is that a state initiative?
That's great. That's a great question. So it's actually covered through SB 75, which is Health for All Children. So that was passed back in 2016 because of the work of advocates throughout the state that recognized that all children, regardless of immigration status, should be able to access Medi-Cal.
Carolina Valle, a guest on the Jefferson Exchange, policy manager for the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, the author of a report called Accessing Mental Health in the Shadows. You're welcome to join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. So it should go without saying, but I'll ask anyway, no coverage equals no mental health care from the sounds of it.
That is correct. The only wrinkle in all of that is the Mental Health Services Act. Again, you know, what's really unique about the Mental Health Services Act is that there's actually no restrictions on providing mental health care to undocumented immigrants. And then the other piece, too, is that What we found through our research is counties do interpret their responsibilities a little bit differently when we're talking about individuals, undocumented individuals that are experiencing serious mental illness. And so some counties are providing mental health services to those that have the more serious conditions, while other counties are only providing preventative and early intervention services to that population.
So depending on where you may be living, the services are going to be offered differently.
That is correct.
Wow. So essentially, though, with no restrictions, though, under the Mental Health Services Act, what is keeping people? First of all, let me get into the methodology of the report, accessing mental health in the shadows, because obviously people living in the shadows, they might be somewhat reluctant to talk to you as well. So I'm just curious to know what you did to compile the information that led to the report.
Is a statewide network of community-based organizations across the state. So we do not provide direct services ourselves, but we have partners across California that do provide direct services in legal aid, outreach and enrollment services, food assistance programs, and other types of community programs. And so what we did for this project is that we interviewed 12 community-based organizations across the state who represented the geographic diversity of California. We interviewed 15 county behavioral health leaders from 12 different county behavioral health departments to also hear from them what the challenges and opportunities are in serving immigrants and undocumented immigrants. And then we also held regional listening sessions in Santa Ana, Oakland, Fresno, and Los Angeles to gather their information and their experiences in serving this population. So we used really a three-pronged approach to gather their input and recommendations on how we can ultimately improve access to care for this population.
Out of curiosity, Carolina, how far north did you get? I'm curious to know which of the counties in our region you might have gotten to.
That's a great question. So I think as far north we got, we interviewed Yolo County and El Dorado.
Okay. So not as far north as Tehama, for example. So let's talk about the complexities of even identifying people living within certain households. As the report points out, it's not just that you have entire families living in the shadows. How frequent is it that households are mixed?
Oh, it's extremely frequent that households are mixed. Nearly one in every two California children have at least one immigrant parent, and three in four non-citizens live in households that also have citizens.
All right. So you have a situation where some people in the house are eligible for some services and some people are not.
That is correct. Most non-citizens, approximately 75%, actually live in households that also have citizens.
Let's talk about your focus in the report on the causes of anxiety. I mean, obviously there's increased pressure for the last couple of years, certainly to not provide services for undocumented immigrants, but the report appears to say that the pressure itself is a cause for some mental health concerns.
That is correct. So what we found through our research, and there's been a lot of emerging research from our partners at the Children's Partnership and the California Immigrant Policy Center that have also really centered around this issue of how is the current climate affecting people's mental health. And what folks have found is that people are experiencing increased stress, increased fear, increased frustration, anxiety, sadness, and uncertainty about the future as a result of the climate that we're currently living in.
And so what are some of the remedies we're talking about here then? First of all, let me even back up a little further. Do we have an idea of the number of people who are affected, who are in that zone where they may need mental health services but don't go get them?
Yeah, so, you know, we do have some general estimations about the prevalence of, for example, serious mental illness here in California. So approximately 4% of people in California are living with serious mental illness. But this report also focuses on people that might be experiencing depression or anxiety for the first time as a result of stressors in their lives. And so that is actually much more common. It's much higher than 4%. And I don't know the exact estimate, but it's something like 1 in 6 people are experiencing a mental health need at any given time. And so what that means is that these are our neighbors, these are our friends, these are people that are living in our communities that are experiencing stressors, uncertainty, other things in their lives that make it difficult for them to cope on a day-to-day basis and need to seek out more support.
We are talking about mental health in California for undocumented immigrants. A report from the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, or CPAN, is called Accessing Mental Health in the Shadows. It's the work of Carolina Valle, our guest on the exchange, policy manager for CPAN. You can join us at 800-838-3760 over the phone with questions or comments, or send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So some findings here. One of the things you seem to favor is a needs assessment, which sounds like going beyond what you've done here and figuring out how great is the need for the kind of service you think needs to be addressed.
Yeah, so one of our big findings from this report is that counties and community-based organizations and partners across California are really invested in trying to better tailor their services and programs to meet the needs of immigrants and undocumented immigrants. But they're experiencing a major dilemma in how to do this because data collection in immigrant and undocumented immigrant communities is very challenging. People are extremely scared about exposure, about deportation, and risking the safety and well-being of their families. And so data collection is something that counties need to grapple with. And what one of the mechanisms that they can do this is by conducting a formal needs assessment. And so what we found in our research when we asked, are you interested in doing a formal needs assessment? Have you done a formal needs assessment? We found that counties said, yes, we see a value in doing one, but we're struggling with how to do it in a way that isn't exposing this population. And so one of our recommendations is that counties and the state of California take a leadership role in trying to address the barriers that are associated with data collection in this community in a way that's safe, in a way that makes people feel comfortable, in a way that makes people come out of the shadows so that they feel comfortable in coming to access services at a facility, coming to share their experiences, and participate in a formal needs assessment, because it's really important that we actually have not just the information at the individual level, but that we have the information at the population level about what the scope of needs are among this population so that we can intervene accordingly.
Does it often, does the quality of the information you get often depend on who is asking? I mean, if you had somebody that subbed out, that got the work as a contract, not the county itself, might that make a difference because it's a private organization and not identified as government?
That is correct. So what we found in this research is that undocumented immigrants and immigrants are experiencing an increased hesitation in accessing services at county facilities. Our partners told us that communities and undocumented communities, they don't know the difference between government buildings. And so that is having a huge impact on where people are going to access services. And what that actually means is that people are going to non-traditional places to access services. So they're going to community-based organizations that might not actually be providing mental health services to tell their stories, to confide in people who they trust. And so it's really important that we bring in those community-based organizations that we might not see as traditional partners in mental health to help facilitate the trust and the referrals into access to care.
Which seems to slide directly into your next finding, which is about outreach and referrals. And that seems to talk about just what you were talking about now, that if organizations come in contact with people who express a need, that they get a referral back to an organization that can help them.
That is correct. So what we heard from our partners was it's not enough to just hand a 1-800 number to a person and expect them to call on their own. People that are experiencing mental health issues are already struggling to meet their own basic needs and to function on a daily basis. And so it's really important that we have advocates that have been working with these communities, that understand these communities, and have the tools and information to facilitate those referrals. It's really important that we bring them into this conversation so that they can serve as liaisons and facilitate proper care.
All right, let's deal with the standard pushback on a lot of this, which is that people who do not have legal status in the country should not have legal access to services, and would ask, what's the benefit in providing services to the undocumented immigrant population?
So I would say, first off, you know, at CPEN, our mission is to reduce disparities in communities of color, and we believe that healthcare is a human right, and this includes mental health care. Immigrants, there's been a lot of research from UC Berkeley, from many universities here in California that have found immigrants are major contributors to their economy, to our children's future. They are our neighbors, they are our friends, they are contributing to the social and economic fabric of this country. And what we also found through our research was that because these communities are investing so heavily in the state of California, in the economy of California, in the communities in our culture, it's really important that we return that investment to and make sure that they have the proper mental health, because when everyone gets proper mental health care, it's actually beneficial for our entire state of California, and it actually helps to have a reduced cost and a reduced burden on our healthcare system.
So does CPenn take any position on whether or not these people should or get to citizenship or get to resident alien status or anything like that?
So we support, so there's currently a budget proposal by our new governor, Newsom, that is expanding Medi-Cal access for low-income young adults, and we support that. We are supporting that campaign. We are supporting our partners at the California Immigrant Policy Center that are spearheading this campaign. There's an assembly bill and there's a Senate bill right now that is looking to take it even a step further and expand Medi-Cal access for all low-income undocumented adults across the lifespan, and we do support those efforts because we know that when we invest in our communities that we're going to see that return on an investment in the long run.
In the meantime, though, you're making do with the system you've got, where obviously, as this report points out, you have people who could use mental health services but are afraid to go seek them. I notice among the findings is something called safe space policies. What are you envisioning there?
For folks that are listening, a couple of years ago, we passed the California Values Act here in California, which required the Attorney General to put forth model policies, model safe space policies for schools, courthouses, and health facilities. And so what we found in our research was that county mental health facilities, the majority of them have not implemented safe space policies at their health facilities. And this is really important because safe space policies, as the name suggests, creates a sense of safety for immigrants and undocumented immigrants. And so we think that because the path to implementation still remains unclear, that California should really take a leadership role in issuing additional direction and guidance to our county mental health facilities to make sure that they can properly implement safe space policies.
Okay, obviously more to assess here and more to figure out in the way of providing access to people who need services. The report is called Accessing Mental Health in the Shadows. It's the work of the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, or CPEN, and primarily the work of Carlina Valle, our guest on The Exchange, policy manager for CPEN. Carlina, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.